If you open your Bibles this morning, turn to Colossians, but I do want to read a scripture just after that song. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 40, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, talking about God's hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, or weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he, God, taketh up the isles as a very little thing. I'm telling you, he says the nations are just a drop in the bucket, just like a drop of water in a bucket to God. Who has taught God anything? And so our God is so big. Our God is so mighty. There's nothing our God can't do. Amen. Good children's song. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 1. In verse 1. If ye then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4 is our text this morning. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This morning I just want to bring you a message on Christ is our life. I hope this morning that Christ is your life. I'm going to show you that Christ is your life when it comes to this physical body, this physical life, this natural life. But I hope that he's your life spiritually. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And Christians this morning, those of you who are saved and know Jesus as your Savior, it's a privilege and a wonderful, wonderful thing to be a child of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to be a child of God. And I pray, God, that you would, again this morning, make it very clear to us the importance of you being our life. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 3:13, which is our theme verse, and just a couple of pages back, if you want to turn back there and read it with me, Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Paul said, I want to know the Lord. I want to know God more. I want to experience him more. Christ is my goal. Being like him, following in his steps, knowing him more. He said, I haven't apprehended. I don't know it all. I don't know everything about what I should know about Jesus Christ. But I am apprehending. I am continually following after. And he said, that's the one thing I do. That Christ was the one thing. This morning, I encourage you that the one thing is Christ. And Christ, as for us who are saved, those who are children of God, ought to be the one thing. Jesus Christ is life. He is the source of life. And I want to remind you this morning, I'm going to take just a little time to remind you that he is the giver of life. He is the giver of life. Not just spiritual life, but he is the giver of life. Natural life. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, these are his words. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am not the kind of the way. I'm not the best way. I'm not part of the way. But he emphatically made it clear that he is the only way. Amen. But in this particular scripture too, he makes it very clear that he is life. He is life. John 11:25, again, quoting Jesus. Good person to quote. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. This morning we live again in a society, we live in a day in which we're constantly being pulled in every direction. I watch sometimes, I went into the laundry room, I don't do that very often, but I did go into the laundry room. Sometimes I do wash my own clothes. It doesn't happen very often. I'm thankful for a wife who washes my clothes. I just say that my stuff magically appears in my chest of drawers. I'm not sure how to, I just go there and there's stuff there that's clean. Even smells good, Miss Bandy. Smells good. Smell it. Anyway, I walked in the laundry room, and the washing machine was on spin cycle. I thought the thing was going to shake out of its misery, but you ever been in a spin cycle of life? Did you ever think you were going to be shaken out of your misery? That's life sometimes, isn't it? And sometimes we find ourselves, again, just being pulled in every direction. As we've been saying this whole year, sometimes we just feel like we got to please everybody when we really only have to please one person. If you just simplify your life, believer, just simplify your life. I don't necessarily have to please my wife. I don't necessarily have to please my family. I don't necessarily have to please, my boss. If I will please the Savior, if I will make Him priority, if I'll set my affections on things above, if I'll seek those things which are above, then all those other priorities will fall in place. They really will. I just can't say that enough. Make the one thing. Keep the one thing in front of you, Jesus Christ. Christ is our life. Christ needs to be the one thing. He is the one thing for eternal life, by the way, because He's the only way to have eternal life. But He also is the way for the life we have now, the life we live now. And it's dependent upon our relationship with Him. If Christ is our life, then life has meaning. I'm thankful today that my life has meaning. My life has purpose. My purpose in life is to glorify God and fellowship with Him. Teenagers, your life has purpose. Your purpose in life is to glorify the Lord, to fellowship with Him. We need to keep that one thing in front of us. Christ gives purpose. We can experience joy daily instead of discouragement when we make the one thing where He should be. One thing. We can have happiness. Now, happiness is dependent upon circumstance, happenstance, but we can have happiness instead of trials. In the midst of trials. We can have happiness in the midst of adversity when we keep Christ first, when we make Him the one thing. Christ gave His life in order that we might have life. If somebody saved your life, you'd feel a debt to them. Christ saved our life. He rescued us from hell. He rescued us from the wrath of God, which is hell. He rescued us and lifted us up and put us on a rock, a firm foundation. He gave us a home in heaven. Christ is my life. Christ is our life. Number one, Christ is our life when it comes to the physical life, the natural life that we have. I'm alive today. I'm breathing today because of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 17, verse 28, "For in Him," that is in Christ, "we live and move and have our being." Understand that this morning, that Colossians says, and you can actually turn back a page and see that in verse 17, says, "And He is before all things, and by Him," that is Christ, "all things consist." Christ is the glue that holds it all together. He is the not only the creator of all things, but He is the curator of all things. He is the super glue that's holding this together. And there in Acts chapter 17, when Paul's preaching on Mars Hill there in Athens, and he's preaching to those philosophers, he is saying to them, listen, it is in Christ that we live and move and have our being. And literally what he's saying is that Christ holds our very breath. He's the reason why we breathe. Christ is my life. I'm breathing today. I got out of bed this morning, put my feet on the ground because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life comes from Him. Life comes from God. Life comes from God. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare a son, Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Psalm 127, verse 3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Understand that every baby that's born in this world is a fruit of the womb of the Lord's reward. That He gives life. That He gives life. Life comes from Him. By the way, life begins at conception. The Bible makes that very, very clear. Psalm 139, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Thou hast covered me, made me, made in secret. Jeremiah, you can look these up later, but Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. These are your two main texts when it comes to defending the biblical truth that life begins at conception. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. You ought to write them down somewhere. This question comes up a lot. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, the Lord says, I knew thee. I knew thee. Life comes from God. He is the giver of life. The giver of life. Life, according to the Bible, begins at conception. Life comes from God, and by the way, that life is precious. It's precious to the Lord. He created us. He created us for His pleasure. He created us in order that we might fellowship with Him. He desires to have a personal relationship with us, and we are precious to Him. Yellow, red, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He loves you too. In fact, He loved you so much, He gave His life, gave His Son's life for you. Abortion devalues life. Abortion devalues life. Abortion is murder. Murdering an innocent life. I'm thankful the Lord forgives. There may be some of you here this morning or some listening online who have gone through an abortion. I'm thankful God forgives. By the way, Paul, who wrote over half the New Testament, was a murderer. And God had him write over half the New Testament. I'm thankful God forgives. You go to Him, ask for forgiveness, He forgives. But it doesn't negate the truth that abortion is, in fact, emphatically murder. The murder and the devaluing of life. Our society has devalued life. We see this in other areas, whether not only with abortion, but also with older generations as well. Just the devalue of life. Life is precious to God. Life comes from Him. By the way, it came from Him. He's the one who can take it. He's the one who can take it. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die. Every man, when the Bible says man, it normally 90% of the time means mankind. It means all of us are appointed to die. What is appointed? I had an appointment this week. I had my first ever drug test. I have a CDL. I got my CDL when I was 18. I've kept it up so that I can drive a church bus now and again. And with it, you can drive a church bus. You don't have to go through physicals, and you don't have to have a drug test. But if you drive for like the public school system, you have to have a physical, you have to have a drug test, and all that. Well, now that our school is getting accredited, the accreditation agency requires that all our bus drivers have a drug test. So I went and got my drug. Went and got drug tested. Hopefully it comes out okay. I don't know what my wife's feeding me. I put my faith in her, that I trust her, that whatever she's feeding me is okay. But I was talking to the guy who was giving me the test. I said, I am the pastor and blah, blah, blah. I said, I've never had a drug test. But I had a drug test this week. I had an appointment this week. Now, I understand the rest of the drug tests will be random, so I'm going to have to really be careful. But this one, I had an appointment. I showed up to the appointed time. I got drug tested. I know I'm being funny, and this is really a serious thing. It's appointed unto man once to die. There is an appointment that God has set for me. It's already set. I can't change it. God's already set the appointed time in which I will die. Everyone in this room has an appointed time that God has set for you. By the way, that's why we need Jesus. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, because you don't know the appointed time, and neither do I. That appointed time might be today. I hope that you know Jesus as your Savior. But that appointed time is determined by God, not by some abortionist doctor. Hello? Amen? That appointed time is determined by God. He is the giver of life, and He is the one who can take it. You say, well, preacher, in the Bible there's exceptions, and absolutely there are. The exception is self-defense. Well, you say, well, the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, says, thou shalt not kill, so therefore, if someone who is attacking me, then I can't kill them. No, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 that Exodus chapter 20 means murder. When the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not kill, Jesus Christ, by the way, who's the authority? Hello? The New Testament gives us further commentary into what Exodus chapter 20 is saying, and Jesus says that commandment, thou shalt not kill, means thou shalt not murder, which does make the exception then for self-defense. God's not saying that you can't defend yourself if somebody's trying to kill you. God's not saying you can't defend your wife and defend your children if somebody's trying to kill you. Absolutely, you ought to defend yourself. I believe in the right to bear arms, amen? I believe not only is it a constitutional right, it's an inalienable right given me by God to defend myself and defend my family, to take care of my family. I said, I'm with Charlton Heston, they'll pry it out of my cold, dead hands. The federal government up there, them loonies don't have any idea about some of us Texans and how we feel about our guns. And they're going to try to take them away from us? Good luck. By the way, most of the sheriffs around here, the deputy sheriffs and all the people that would be trying to do that, are our friends. They're not going to do that. At least in the next few years. We don't know what's going to happen. I got off on politics. I shouldn't have done that. We have the right to defend ourselves. And then secondly, the exception in the Bible is war. Just war. Just war. And the government has the right to set that and so forth and so on. Also, the state has the right to execute capital punishment. Capital punishment is biblical. You take somebody's life, and you're found guilty by a judge and a jury, they have the biblical right to put you to death. So now that I've clarified all that biblically, God is the giver of life. Life is precious to Him. Life is precious. Your life is precious to Him. He loves you. And then secondly, we think about spiritual life. We are a trichotomy. We're made up of the body, our body, this physical body that we have, our soul and our spirit. We are born into this world spiritually dead. That spiritual aspect of us that God has created in us is born void. It's not been filled. It's born dead. John 1:4 says, in Him, that is in Christ, was life, and the life was the light of man. It's Christ who lights mankind, if you will. John 11:25, I just quoted a while ago, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And though He were dead. What does he mean by dead? Are you talking about physical death? No, spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Christ is our life. Some of you recall John chapter 3 when Jesus comes before Nicodemus. And he says to that Jewish ruler, and scholar, know ye not that you must be born again? See, we need two births. We are born physically into this world by water. That's what John 3 says. And then we need to be born again. We need to be born again spiritually. I asked the question to you this morning, have you been born twice? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You would need two births. And when we are born again, we're given new life. New life. John chapter 5, verse 24, quoting Jesus again, he says, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me shall not be condemned, but is passed from death into life. We are dead because of our sins, spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 5, and you're just a few pages from that. You can back up a couple of pages. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Christ shall give thee light. Christ shall give thee life. Look at Ephesians 2. Go back a couple more pages. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Help me on this one, if you would go to that one, because I want to read about 9 verses. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul says this, he says, "And you hath he quickened." That word quickened means made alive. "You were dead, and you were made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature," listen to this, "the children of wrath, even as others." So he says, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And while you were dead in trespasses and sin, you walked according to the course of this world. The three enemies are mentioned. The world, the prince and power of the air, which is the devil, and then in verse 3 it says the flesh. That's what we walked in before we got saved. We walked according to the course of this world. We walked according to the prince and power of the air, the enemy, the devil, and we walked according to our own flesh. Christian, can I remind you, you still got three enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And we ought to continually fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Verse 4 says, but God. I'm always glad for the but God in the Bible. There's tons of that phrase is found everywhere. But God, who is rich in mercy. You were walking into the course of this world. You were walking according to the world, your flesh and the devil. But God, who is rich in mercy, not giving you the punishment you deserve, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And I love the next two verses. For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you rescued. Are you made alive? Are you quickened through faith? And that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not a works, lest any man should boast. Listen, we are saved. We are rescued. We are made alive by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. His life, putting our faith and trust in him, what he did for us, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Placing our trust in him. Not in being a Baptist, not in any denomination, not in any non-denominational, not in any baptistry. I did the baptismal class with our three who are going to get baptized this morning, and reminding them again, baptism doesn't save you. Amen. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism doesn't wash away your sins. It doesn't even picture the washing away of sins. It pictures the death, burial, and resurrection. It pictures the work of Jesus Christ that he did for us, that we might have eternal life, that we might escape the grave, that old death and Satan, and be raised together with him, to be ever with him in the air, to be with him in heaven, to escape hell and have a home in heaven. We were quickened by Christ, made alive. Think about Lazarus when Jesus went there in Bethany and came to the grave of Lazarus, and he shouted out, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out, and the Bible says he still had his grave clothes on. He's hopping around, had those grave clothes wrapped around him. And so many times we as Christians we get saved, we're made alive as Lazarus was made alive, but so many times we keep the grave clothes on. We need to be loosed from those. And they finally loosed him from the grave clothes. I'm thankful I am no longer a servant of sin. According to Romans chapter 6, I don't have to. I don't have to sin. I've been given victory over the penalty of sin, but also over the power of sin. And one day I'll be given victory over the presence of sin when I get to heaven. Amen. No more sin nature. Won't that be awesome? We were dead in our sin, but we're made alive through Jesus Christ. His work of salvation, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And lastly, Christian, this morning, Colossians chapter 3, again in verse 1, if you then been risen with Christ, have you been risen with Christ? If you're saved this morning, you've been risen with Christ. You have escaped the wrath of God. You've been placed positionally in Jesus Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, where Christ sitteth now as he's ascended into heaven, and there in heaven he sits at the right hand of the throne of God, and there he liveth to make intercession for us. There he liveth for us. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth, verse 2. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. Christian, this morning, Christ is our life. Christ is the substance, should be the substance, and he certainly is the sustainer of our spiritual life. We preach through the I Am's of John when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection of the life. I am the door. I am the shepherd. Listen, he is the sustainer of life. He is the giver of life, and he's the sustainer of life. It is Christ, Christian, it's Christ, children of God, who gives us strength. It's Christ who gives us strength. It's Christ who gives us hope. It's Christ who gives us purpose, as I've already stated. Christ is our supply. We went through that when we went through the I Am's. Christ is our supply. He said, I am. Not I'm going to have to go, I use the illustration, the silly illustration about when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, or I am the door, he's not saying that he's going to have to go find life for you. No, he is the supply. In other words, he doesn't have to go to Dollar General and buy it. No, he gives it. It's who he is. He's giving himself to you. He's supplying you. He's supplying you with strength. He's supplying you with peace. He's supplying you with comfort. He's promised never to leave you nor forsake you. What a great and mighty God we have, and that great and mighty God loved us so much. He gave his son's life for us, who shed his blood for us, who died on the cross for us. They put him in the grave, and he rose again from the dead that we might have eternal life and that we might have an abundant life now. I didn't get saved and just receive blessings in the future. I got saved and I receive blessings now. I can have a greater life now. I can have a better life now. I can have a joyful life now. Christian, you don't have to live a mundane life. You don't have to live a life without joy. You don't have to live a life without happiness. I know, again, happiness is dictated by happenstance and what happens in our life. But listen, you can experience joy and happiness every day in your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As you walk with him, as you talk with him, as you allow him to lead and guide and direct you. We just came to the Man's Advance, our men's conference, and they used the illustration about a pinball. So many of us as Christians live life like a pinball in a pinball machine. You know, boom, and that pinball goes up in there and comes around and it hits the bumpers and it just, and all the lights go off. So many of us live that same way. Instead of allowing God to guide us and lead us, we allow circumstances in our life to bounce us around. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on the goal. We need to live the life that God intended for us to live. And if we'll do that, if we'll live the life God intended for us to live, you say, well, what is that? I don't know what that is, Pastor. I don't know what that means. It means that you live a life pleasing to him. That you walk daily with him. How do I walk daily? Read your Bible and pray every day, just like we learned in Sunday school. Having that personal daily devotional time with him and walking with him and keeping your eyes on the finish line. The one thing. Paul said in Philippians, for me to live is Christ. He didn't say for me to live is work. Or for me to live as money, or for me to live as fame, for me to live as fun. He said, for me to live is Christ. Christian, this morning, is Christ your life? Christ, Paul said, who is my life. I believe that about Paul, don't you? I believe Paul. You read all his letters and all the books he meant. Christ was his life. Christ ought to be your life. Is he your life this morning? This morning, have you passed from death unto life? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been quickened? Have you been made alive? Is your spirit alive? If not, we'd love to show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life, how you can have your sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. It's an invitation. We're inviting you to come forward, and we'd love to show you. One of our counselors will show you from the Bible how you can be saved, how you can be rescued from the wrath of God because of your sins, because of my sins. Christian, this morning, is Christ your all in all? Is Christ your all in all? Blessings flow to those who put Him first. Blessings flow to those who put Him first, those who seek Him, those who set their affections on things above. He is the one who gives us strength in our time of need. He's the one who comforts us. He's the one who gives us contentment, who gives us peace. And by the way, I'm thankful He gives us victory. Amen. He gives us victory. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We don't have to live a defeated life. No, we've been given the Holy Spirit who abides in us to empower us, to strengthen us, to live a life that's pleasing to Him. And that life that's pleasing to Him will bring us joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a hymn that says, well, we sang it today. I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah. A message unto you I'll give. 'Tis recorded in His word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in His word, hallelujah. It is only that you, what? Look and live. Jesus Christ gives life. Do you have eternal life? If you don't, again, we'd love to show you how you can have eternal life. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a verse of invitation, invite you to come this morning. Maybe you need to come and pray for someone else, or maybe God's put something upon your heart this morning that's been said, or something that maybe during the song service, something touched your heart. Why don't you come forward and pray, seek the Lord's face. We're going to sing Only Trust Him, hymn 163, after we pray. Heavenly Father, we love You, and Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for the sacrifice Your Son made on Calvary, that we might have eternal life. And that we might have abundant life. Lord, would You, again, touch the hearts of those who need to be quickened, those who do need to be made alive, or may have the courage and strength to step out of their chair and come forward and seek Your face, Lord, and accept You as their Savior. Lord, may we as Christians set our affections on things above. May we as Christians seek those things which are above. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.